Morning, everybody. My name's Paul. If I haven't met you before, glad you came to worship with us here at Christian Life Fellowship. As you came in this morning, you were handed a little program. On the back side of that, there's a space for notes if you want to jot down notes as we go today. This summer, we've been in a series all summer on based out of the book of Mark from the New Testament. And we're calling this series Kingdom Come because Mark's gospel is all about Jesus' announcement that the kingdom of God is here. In fact, we have this statement that Jesus makes right out of the chute in Mark 1, verse 15. If you have a red letter Bible, that's just the words of Jesus. These are the first red letters in the book of Mark. And Jesus says this, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." And that statement kind of forms a thesis for the rest of Mark. The rest of Mark is written to show what that looks like, what the kingdom of God is, what it means to repent and believe the good news and to serve and live in this kingdom of God. So over the course of the past 4 weeks, we've been working through roughly the first year of Jesus' ministry and him talking about the kingdom of God. The first week, the message we talked about was really outlining some of the characteristics of the kingdom of God. And then in the second week, we talked about the fact that the kingdom of God is others-focused. So like if you have been serving Jesus for any length of time, our tendency, my tendency is that we kind of turn in. The church's tendency is that we turn in on each other, that the longer we're together, if we're not careful, we got to keep pushing out. We talked about a Christian bubble in week two, if you remember that, where I become a Christian and pretty soon all my friends are Christians. I don't know anybody that's not a Christian. I become bubbleized, all right? And we talked about in week two pushing outside and getting outside of that bubble. A couple of weeks ago, then, Pastor Matt taught on the importance of forgetting ourselves, that in the kingdom of God, there's no room for self-promotion, that we are challenged. In that week, he challenged us to seriously ask ourselves, is the kingdom of God the top priority in my life? Does it have first place in my life, or is it just somewhere else in the shuffle? And then last week, Pastor Matt taught from Mark chapter 4, and he reminded us that the life in the kingdom of God is highly relational. And we looked at this parable or a story that Jesus told of seeds that fell on different types of soil. And we were asked, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? Am I fertile soil where the kingdom of God is planted in me and it begins to grow and it flourishes? Or am I hard-hearted or distracted? Or is there something else where I'm just not taking it very seriously? So we talked about this parable of seeds. And one thing that Pastor Matt said last week that stuck with me was when he said this. He said, it's okay not to understand, but it's not okay to stay there. Do you remember that if you were here last week? I know he repeated that. He said, it's okay not to understand, but it's not okay to stay there. In other words, it's okay not to understand everything in the kingdom of God. It's okay not to have it all together. It's okay not to have like God in a box, like I can explain. It's okay, but it's not okay that we stay there. In other words, we need to keep pursuing our relationship with God so that we continue to grow in our knowledge of who he is and what his kingdom is all about and how do we move and act in it. All right, so that's where we've been. Today we're going to stay in Mark chapter 4. So if you have a Bible with you, you want to turn to Mark chapter 4. There's a Bible in the seat back ahead of you if you want to use one of those. You'll find Mark in the New Testament if you turn to chapter 4. And actually, through these messages, we prepare some of these that I know we've been doing. We've been covering a lot of text, right? So this morning, we're actually going to cover a relatively small section of Mark as we look into it this morning. So to get us going, as you're turning in your Bibles to Mark 4, let me just ask you this question. How many of you garden? All right? Out of those, how many of you are like, you do flower gardening, all right? How many are vegetable gardeners? All right, very good. So we could cue up the Lion King music right here, and I will say, behold the zucchini, all right? Or zucchini phone, not. Zucchini, we're going to talk about zucchini and today, kind of. When I was in high school, my very best friend in high school, I grew up in Waukesha, kind of. I'm a city kid, okay? So I didn't know a lot about these doodads, right? I just knew they were in some vegetable thing in the supermarket, right? So I was a city kid. My best friend, he lived on the outskirts of Waukesha, so I think they thought they were country folk, but they were really city folk, right? And his mom, I used to hang out at his house like every day after school. I'd go over to Doug's house. In fact, I called his mom, just kind of joy. I'd be, hey, Mom, what's up? She's like, hey, Paul, you know, it's good you're here and all that kind of stuff. So I hung out at his house a lot. Well, they lived on the edge of the city. In fact, their house butted up against a park, so they had a woods that they kind of butted up against. And one summer, she decided she was going to garden, like vegetable garden. And so she had her husband rototill up a section of land that was about 40 feet by 20 feet. So that's a pretty good plot of garden, right? I mean, you can get a fair amount of stuff in there. And she decided that she was going to put and where, and she ended up planting about half of that in zucchini. And y'all know where I'm going, right? That's a lot of zucchini. In fact, when we lived in Brainerd, so much later on, now my wife and I are married, and we're in our first place in ministry was in Brainerd, Minnesota, which is much like this place. It's more rural, you know, more agriculture, all that kind of stuff. And and it was a safe place to live, so we didn't lock our house, we didn't lock our car, none of that kind of stuff. You just leave and everything's wide open, right? Except when these guys came due, right? So when zucchini season was out, you locked your car door. Because if you didn't, you're going to find a bag of zucchini in your passenger seat, right? And I was talking to someone after first service, and they're like, man, you should have bought like a bunch of zucchini and gone out in the parking lot, and whoever's car was unlocked, stick one on their driver's seat, right? I didn't do that. We're going to set this guy down there. We're going to talk this morning, you know, the kingdom of God is actually a lot like zucchini. Now, I know that sounds weird, but it's true. And hopefully, if you remember anything today, zucchini kingdom. Take that home with you, right? You'll get it when we get all done here today. Zucchini grows like crazy, and it produces a lot of fruit, right? Just tons of it. In fact, biologically, it's fruit. Culinary, it's a vegetable. So, you know, it's kind of weird that way, but it's one of those kind of things. So in the next two messages, what I want to do is I want us to focus on how the kingdom of God grows. And we're going to talk about cultivating growth in the kingdom of God. Who is responsible for cultivating that growth? Now, there's actually two main players in growing the kingdom of God. There's two roles to play. There's our role, and then there's God's role. So as a Jesus follower, if you follow Christ, you have a role. I have a role. I share responsibility in cultivating kingdom growth. So you and I, we both have a role to play. And then there's God's role. He, too, shares responsibility for growing his kingdom. And today we're going to focus on our role, and then next week we'll talk more in depth about what God's role is. So we're going to focus in on what is our role in cultivating kingdom growth. So let's start in Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. It'll be up on the screen as well. So here's what Mark writes in Mark chapter 4, picking up in verse 21. Mark writes this, he said, "He, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, 'Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let him hear.'" He continues, he says, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So let's just stop there. Here's the first of one of these three stories that Jesus tells in this section that we're going to look at this morning. And the first thing I learn about my role in cultivating kingdom growth is this, that I need to take up my role. So that's the first bit of news is we have a role, okay? And the first thing I learned from these stories that Jesus is going to tell here in succession is that I need to take up my role. Like, I do have a role to play, and I need to take that up. Now, where we pick things up, Jesus is actually continuing the conversation that we looked at last week. He's talking to his inner circle, his closest 12 friends. He just got done explaining the parable of the seeds that Pastor Matt preached from last week. And he continues with three more parables of sorts. If you remember last week, Pastor Matt reminded us that up until this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus taught, when he taught, it was fairly straightforward. He just kind of laid things out there very plainly. But at this point in his ministry, things begin to shift. And from now on, he only taught using these stories, these parables. And frankly, it becomes a little bit more confusing for the listener, for the audience. We have to actually work to think and understand what Jesus is teaching. And so he uses these stories and parables and metaphors. And in this first one, Jesus brings up this issue of the proper use of a lamp. Do you put it under a bowl or a bed? And the Dr. Seuss in me continues, like, do you put it under a bowl or a bed or a cap on your head, you know? So Jesus is doing this Dr. Seuss thing, right? He's saying, look, you don't take a lamp and stick it under a bed or under a bowl or under a cap on your head kind of thing, right? And then he ends with this warning. And this is where he gets to the point of what he wants to really convey. He says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And in this statement, Jesus is basically saying, use it or lose it. He's basically saying, use it or lose it. He's talking about our role. He's talking about our responsibility. He's talking about our part in cultivating growth in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, look, if you're not going to use it, you're going to lose it. That's what the warning is. He's talking about our responsibility to talk to people about God and the kingdom of God. And he likens us to a lamp. And he asks, what good is a lamp that is lit and put under a basket or slid under a bed? He says, the lamp is useless that way. And in this passage, Jesus is telling us that once we have received the good news about the truth of Jesus Christ, once we've done that, then we have a responsibility to use that truth. In other words, this is once again an invitation to participate in the kingdom of God. And I would say maybe that word invitation is a little soft. It's really a mandate. And it carries the warning that we read at the end of this passage. And if we don't share what we've been given, Jesus said, even what we have will be taken from us. Now, the first thing I learn about my role is to take up my role. I have a role, I'm going to take it up. We have to use what we have been given. You have a story to tell. Everyone in this room has a story to tell. You are unique. God has created you uniquely. He's gifted you uniquely. You have unique experiences. When you've decided, hey, I want to follow Jesus, your life changed in different ways than the person sitting next to you. You have a very unique story to tell. And our role is first to just know that role, to take up this role, to know my story. To begin to develop that story. How has Jesus changed your life? And we need to think about this ahead of time. In fact, you need to rehearse your story. It's just good for you anyways, just remember how God has worked in your life, right? But you need to rehearse your story so that when you're asked, hey, what's up with you? You're kind of different. You got a story to tell. And I would say do this in a couple ways. You know, you need to have a long version of your story. And you need to have a short version of your story. You need to have, I'm going to have a cup of coffee with this person version of your story. And you need to have the elevator speech version of your story, right? Know your story. Peter reaffirms this in his first letter when he writes in the New Testament. He writes in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy. God has created you uniquely. You have a unique story to tell. Peter tells us that we need to be ready. How do we be ready? Well, I rehearse what my story is. I think about it. I know my long version, my short version. I'm ready so that when I'm hanging out with people, or maybe I'm going through a crisis, and they go, man, you handled that totally different than the way I did. Why did you behave that? Why did you act that way? Why did you do it that way? And I go, well, that's because Jesus made a difference in my life. This is the way I think about God and life and living, and it's made a difference. Let me tell you my story. And I can tell my story. That's our first role, to know that we have a role and that we take up the role, that we're familiar with who we are and how God has interacted in our life, how the kingdom of God has influenced me so I can take up my role to begin to tell others about it. So that's the first thing, is I need to take it up. I don't need to hide my lamp under a bowl or the bed or the cap on my head or whatever. I need to tell it. I need to share it. I need to let my light shine. And it's telling other people how Jesus affected me. That's the first thing. Let's pick it up here. We're going to go to verse 26. Let's find something out. How else can we cultivate the kingdom of God? Here's picking up in verse 26. Mark continues. He said, "He, Jesus, also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he, the farmer, does not know how." The farmer doesn't know how it grows, right? "All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And we're going to stop there. Let's talk about the second parable. In this second story, Jesus, and I love how Jesus did that. Jesus was a master teacher. He would take stuff that you're familiar with in your world, and he would spin a story around it. These people knew all about agriculture. This is the life that they lived, right? And so he's talking about this agricultural terms, right? And he's talking about a farmer who plants seeds in a field and then goes on with other activities. As the days go by, the seeds sprout, they grow, and they produce grain all by their lonesome, with like very little help from the farmer. It's kind of like our zucchini friend here. You plant zucchini, you're going to get zucchini, right? And we don't get it. We don't know how many it's going to produce, all that stuff. It just does. And I don't even have to be there to tend to it. It'll grow, right? So here's the point that Jesus is making. My point, or my job, is simply to sow seed. You look at the story, there's no help from the farmer. He just sows the seed, goes to a movie, right? We just need to sow seed. I cultivate kingdom growth when I sow seed. So first I got to just know I have a role and take up the role. Then what is my role? I got good news for you. It's not like 100 things. It's one thing. I love Jesus. He's simple. I can do one thing. My job is simply to sow seed. But what's the seed? The seed is the good news. What's the good news? It's announcing and demonstrating what Jesus has done for me. Right? That's good news. Our job is to take what has been given to us through Jesus Christ and to share that love with other people. Now, we don't change people's hearts. You know that, right? How many of you ever tried to change someone else's heart? And then you went and found a wall, right? Because you had to hit your head on something, right? We don't change people's hearts. We'll talk about God's role next week. That's one of them, right? He changes them. Our job is to just share with them, to talk to them. And I love it that it's this simple. Our job is to share love of God with people. You know, how someone responds, that's up to them and God and what God is doing in their lives. And I don't know about you, but knowing that it's that simple takes a great deal of pressure off of me. In fact, this thought does two things for me. First of all, it guards me against getting a big head, or even worse, like a Messiah complex. You know, we can think we're the Savior, like I've got to save that person. No. It doesn't work that way. I just need to share my story and announce and demonstrate God's kingdom to them and what it looks like and let God do the work. I'm not the Savior. You know, I know we're good intentioned and well-intentioned and all, but a lot of times in missions world, we talk about, well, we need to go bring them Jesus. No, we don't. Jesus is there. We need to connect the dots on how Jesus is working. Do you think God is everywhere? I'm not bringing them Jesus. I'm bringing them my story. I'm bringing them my understanding, maybe how I can connect their story with God's story, right? So that's one thing that this super simple plan does for me. It just helps me stay humble. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a tool. The second thing it does is it helps me. I don't have to be super evangelist guy, right? Now, there is the spiritual gift of evangelism. Some of you in this room have that gift. It's a spiritual gift of evangelism. You are great at it. You'll talk to, you love even like knocking on doors cold. Like I would never, but some of you love doing that kind of, you're great at evangelism. Not all of us are wired that way. You know, and that's okay. But if you are wired for evangelism, you need to, you know, boom that gift. That is your gift. If you are not wired for evangelism, you're not off the hook. I'm not wired that way. I'm not off the hook. We're all called. That's why I'm grateful that this is a simple plan. All I need to do is sow seed. All I need to know is to be able to share my story. It's that simple, and I'm so grateful for a simple plan. The Apostle Paul recognized this principle when he wrote to a group of believers in the city of Corinth. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote this. He said, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So Paul knew this distinction between, he knew what his role was, to go scatter seed, to just go share the good news. Just scatter seed, just sow seed. My role first is to know my role, know my story. My second thing is just to tell my story. Scatter seed, sow seed. Let's finish up with one more parable. Picking up in verse 30, Mark writes this. Again, Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. So that's the parable he tells. And Mark kind of summarizes this all up with a little closing here. He says, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So again, this just reaffirms that from now on, Jesus just used these stories to get out the spiritual truth. So let's go back to the parable. And he's talking about this mustard seed, and it grows, and even the birds can perch in its branches. The last thing I learned about my role in cultivating kingdom growth is my small role can produce a lot. And here's where we really get into the zucchini principle, all right? My little role, your story, you may not even think the moment you're speaking with someone, you'll go, I don't know. You may not even remember having the conversation with them. But your role, as seemingly small as it might seem, can produce a lot. In the last part of what we read here, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Now, if I would have taken a zucchini and put it out like by the coffee on the table out there, you would have seen it and gone, huh, a zucchini. That's odd, right? But if I would have brought a mustard seed and put it on the table out there, you probably wouldn't even have noticed it. In fact, I could have one right now, and I could have said, hey, here's a mustard seed. You know, no one would know. They're tiny. They're super tiny. And yet, Jesus says that one seed becomes this large plant. In fact, the mustard plants in that area of the world can grow as big as like a large lilac bush. So Jesus is saying, you take a tiny little seed, mustard seed, you plant it, and you get this lilac bush thing where birds can even perch. It becomes this big thing. And then you know how many seeds it produces? I don't know. Anybody a mustard expert? No. I'm sure it's like hundreds, thousands, I don't know, of these tiny seeds. And if you just left it go, it'd be like zucchini. It would take over your house and your garden and your neighborhood and all that. You'd have mustard coming out of your ears. And so it is with the kingdom of God. It's about planting these small seeds. It's about the combined effort of everyone doing their little part. There may be a person I don't know that you talk to, that I run into and I talk to, and now they got multiple seeds sown in their life from different sources, right? All we have to do is know our role, know our story, sow seed, and God takes it all and works it together. And our little piece in it can produce a lot. And God blesses that. And the kingdom grows, and we'll talk about God's role next week, but it's very organic. It's highly relational. Now, zucchinis aren't relational, but the organic thing, it's a lot like zucchini, the kingdom of God, right? You plant, it's just the one, you drop that thing in the ground, and you better have room in your garden, right? You'd be locking your doors so no one puts it in there. So Jesus tells us in these verses that we read today that, you know, we need to know our role. We need to have our story down. And you need to be thinking about that. You need to be prepared. Peter told us, be ready. Be ready for someone to ask you why you have the hope that's within you, right? That's what Peter says. So I need to know my role. I need to be ready. And then I just need to know, I may not see the harvest, but I need to believe that my little role is going to produce a lot. And so to illustrate this morning, I just want to tell you some more of my story, my personal story, my family story. And as I was thinking about this, it's a great illustration how it just starts with one conversation and you don't know where it's going to end up. And one zucchini seed, one mustard seed, and boom, can produce a lot, right? So let me just share you a little bit about my family. In the early 70s, as I was thinking back, there's a cousin who I'll mention here, but I don't know really of anyone in my family in the early 70s who had a real relationship with Jesus. Yes, we were good religious Lutheran and Catholic folk. I mean, we did stuff. We went to church, but honestly, that was about it. I don't ever remember my folks like pursuing God. We just kind of went to church and that was it. We didn't talk about it at home. It was a personal, private thing. So it wasn't like we were vibrant Christians. You know, we had some faith. There was some stuff out there, but it wasn't like anybody was really pursuing God like we know. And I would say, a lot of my relatives didn't even do that. They didn't attend church. A lot of them didn't even do that. And then one day in 1975, one of my cousins, and I don't remember, she was an older, she was probably 19 years old at the time, she spoke to my Aunt Jill about Jesus. And my Aunt Jill and my Uncle Chuck were having some difficulty in their marriage and were just kind of getting back together from a short separation. And Aunt Jill and my cousin were talking one day, and my cousin, who was a Christian, had a vibrant relationship with God. She was the only one I know of, started speaking to my aunt about the difference that Jesus made in her life and said, he can do the same for you. And that was in 1975. And she actually ended up helping my aunt come to faith in Christ. So she leads my aunt to Christ. Well, a short time later, my mom was at my Aunt Jill's house. Now, my mom and Aunt Jill are sisters, right? So my mom's at her sister's house, right? And it just so happens that the cousin is there too. And it just so happens that they're talking about, the relationship being restored and things were going good. And my Aunt Jill was starting to read her Bible and things were changing for her. And there was some change in her life and her husband's life. And my mom's going, what? And they end up that day leading my mom to Jesus. All right. Now, unbeknownst to my mom, my dad was on a business trip out east. And he was in a hotel room and just happened to open up a drawer. Here's another different kind of seed. Opens up a drawer and finds a Gideon Bible. And now there was some seed that was already sown by my cousin in my dad's life, but never asked him, do you want to follow Jesus? So he's reading this Gideon, and in the back of the Gideon, there's like a plan of salvation kind of thing. So my dad accepts Christ as a Savior and decides to follow him. Well, my dad calls my mom the next morning, and back then, this is the mid-70s, so if you were around in the mid-70s, you might remember the little bumper stickers a lot of people had that said, I've been born again. Remember the phrase, right? It was all over. Jimmy Carter said, I've been born again. I've been born again. It was all over the place. Well, my mom answers the phone. My dad's talking to my mom. She's like, wait, I got something to tell you. And she's like, no, I got something to tell you. And he's like, last night I was born again. She goes, I was born again too, And so unbeknownst to each other. So you have a conversation from my cousin to my aunt, leads my aunt to Jesus. My aunt leads my mom to Jesus. Gideon's and my cousin lead my dad to Jesus. And then a little while later, the six of us, I got four sisters and a brother. My mom leads all of us to Jesus, right? So now we go from one to two to three to what, eight or nine, right? So tracking with me so far, we're starting to look like zucchini, right? Right? And so, in the summer of 1976, as an 11-year-old kid, I decided to put God first in my life. And I was baptized in a pond in front of the church, Elmbrook Church in Brookfield. If you've ever been on Barker Road, the pond is still there. Whenever we drive by it, I give my kids the Reality Liebherr tour and say, this is where Dad was baptized. And they all roll their eyes. I go, yeah, we know that, Dad. All that kind of stuff. So that's where I was baptized. Now, since those days of 75, 76, I know of at least, there's dozens of cousins who've come to faith. Many of my brothers, or my dad's family, I think all of my mom's brothers and sisters. Then you think of the offspring. My mom and dad have 33, my wife's giving me the three, 33 grandkids. And most, if not all of them, are serving Jesus in some way. So It started with a conversation with a 19-year-old girl with her aunt, right? And it becomes that, and then my mom, then my dad, then us kids, and then we all get, you know, and it's a lot like zucchini. It starts with one little seed, and pretty soon there's this whole lineage. Never underestimate the conversation you have with that person. You may not see the fruit, but that's not your job. Your job is to sow seed. Your job is to know your story. Your job is to, when there's an opportunity, to tell your story. It's God's job. We'll talk about God's job next week. He's the one that makes it all work. He takes all the stuff and makes it work. And so the kingdom of God is like our friend the zucchini there. You plant a little, you get a whole lot more. And as we learn from Jesus today, I just want to encourage you, use what God has given you. I'm telling you, you have a unique story to tell. Everyone in this room is different. You have a story to tell. Use it, learn it, tell it. All that Jesus is asking us to do is to simply sow seed. That's all he wants us to do. The kingdom of God doesn't grow because of advertising. It doesn't grow because of well-prepared sermons. The kingdom of God doesn't grow just because there's cool churches or even excellent programs. As good as all those things are, those are all good things. The kingdom grows mostly through relationship when one person shares their story. And that person shares their story. And that person shares their story. And when that happens, you better lock your doors. We got zucchini coming, right? That's how the kingdom of God grows. Know your story. Take up your role. And let God multiply. Your job, my job, is to take up my role, to know my story, and go plant that seed. Let's pray and we'll close. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your word, for this book of Mark that has survived through the centuries so we can learn from you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to think about how you've changed us. God, that we would think about how your Spirit has moved in our lives and changed us. God, I pray that we would know our story and then look for those opportunities. God, you'd open up those doors of opportunity for us just to simply, in a very relational, casual way, just tell people about the difference that you've made in our lives. God, I pray for people in this room who have been praying for a friend or a family member for a long, long time and just have not seen the fruit yet. I pray you'd give them patience. I pray that you would bring other people into those people's lives to sow seed. And God, that they would quickly come to a knowledge of who you are. God, that you would draw them to yourself. For those who are today, are here today, maybe haven't decided in their own heart to say, you know, Jesus, yeah, I want in. I'm hearing about this kingdom stuff. I want in. I don't know if I'm living for the kingdom right now. I pray that as they are here today, God, that they would just say, God, I want you in my life to be first place. I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I need you. God, would you change me and use me for your kingdom? I want to be used in this kingdom. I want part of this. God, I pray that they would just say that to you in this moment right now. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for your patience with us and how you teach us. God, I pray that CLF and other Christians in this community, that the kingdom in this community would just grow like zucchini, that it would just, like fire, spread through this community, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.